Now, the three strikes law, introduced by the National Labor Government in 2010, might now be re-looked at now that Labor is back in. The Labor Party tried to repeal it in the last term, but was blocked by coalition partner New Zealand First. So, we thought we'd ask, 10 years on, what effect has the three strikes law had? It was based on Californian legislation and was introduced by the National Labor Government in 2010 as part of its agreement with the ACT Party, with then ACT MPs David Garrett spearheading the issue. With us is Warren Brookbanks, who is a Professor of Criminal Law and Justice Studies at AUT. Professor Brookbanks, welcome to the panel.
Thank you, Wallace. Nice to hear you.
So what is the rationale for three strikes? This was based on US legislation?
Yeah, it was largely based on legislation in California. California has probably more strikers in prison than any other state in America, and it was certainly the model, I think, that was followed. But it was very much the baby of particular individuals in New Zealand. I don't think it was a model that was widely enthused about, but nevertheless, it became part of the criminal justice agenda in 2010.
Yeah, 2010. Yeah. Hey, look. So, explain the concept in a nutshell. The third strike, you get the maximum sentence for whatever the case, right?
Well, that's right. It's an aggravated penalty structure. So on the first strike, you just get the sentence imposed by the court. The second strike, the court has to impose. You have to serve the sentence imposed by the court with no parole. And on the third strike, you've got to serve the maximum sentence available at law without
parole. All right. So, and I'll bring in Ruth, who has views on it too, and Sam, of course. But might that lead to perverse outcomes or not? I mean, I said the New Zealand man, the first one, I think, to actually have this case, have the three strikes, Raven Casey Campbell, 25, he got 7 years for grabbing a prison officer on her bum. The judge at the time said, look, it was harsh, but this is the law.
Well, that's always been the concern. I mean, I've been opposed to this legislation from the outset. I was very outspoken when it was first enacted, and the concerns that we've had is particularly the issue of lack of proportionality. And this was very powerfully demonstrated earlier this year in the case of Mr. Fitzgerald, who was convicted on a third strike of kissing a woman in Cuba Street in Wellington. And because it was his third strike for indecent assault, he was given 7 years jail. And the Court of Appeal said, well, that's the law, and it's a mandatory sentence, and there's nothing we can do about it, so he has to serve 7 years. That's the real problem. It creates distortions within the system of punishment.
All right, well, let's first go to Ruth Money, who is a victim's advocate and would know this law. Ruth, what do you think, 10 years on, the three strikes?
Well, 10 years on, we're only just starting to see
the effects.
The effects, because it takes that long. Our justice system is so darn slow, but it also takes that long for people to get their warnings, serve their sentences as it then incrementally increases, given the strike regime. And also, there are judges can, and I have seen them, if the judge says that it is manifestly unjust, then they can opt out of the three strikes regime.
They've got that option. Warren?
Can we qualify that? They can opt out of the non-parole.
Non-parole.
Opt out of the three strikes regime itself. That's an important qualification.
Yep. And just like people who oppose three strikes can serve up Fitzgerald as an example, then people who think that the three strikes, in theory, although I agree with people, it isn't working to the intent of Parliament. But, you know, if you look at Wiremu Allen, for example, July 2020, this was his third strike. He broke into a house, he demanded money, punched the victim. The victim was shot in the knee, albeit accidentally, but they were carrying guns. Now, he's got over 60 convictions, including assaulting his partner, threatening to shoot the police, etc., etc. So the intent of Three Strikes was it recognised that the community expected to be protected from recidivist serious violent offenders. And Three Strikes are only relevant for the 40 worst offences in New Zealand. You can't get a strike if you kick over a mailbox or if you do a low-level crime, a so-called low-level crime.
OK, Warren, do you want to comment on what Ruth said?
Well, you know, she's quite right. But it should be noted that under the Act, the Sentencing Act, there are 40 offences which are nominated as strike offences. But the way it's worked out, the vast majority of the strike offences are only relate to three particular types of offence, namely sexual assault, robbery, and serious assaults. And so the vast majority of those 40 crimes never eventuate as strike offences. It's a very small cohort of offences.
But what's wrong with sexual assaults being part of Three Strikes?
Oh, I'm not saying it shouldn't be part of Three Strikes. Mm. But the fact is that the Three Strikes law, although it nominates a large number of offences, it's a relatively small number that dominate those statistics.
Well, that and I don't want to get all technical for listeners and get all nerdy on it, but when I sit in court, I can see charges and charge compromises happening to avoid strike offences and to plea out because, and this is why this law doesn't work, judges do not like to be told what to do and it is dysfunctional. So I don't disagree that it needs to be looked at, but I do think there are other priorities.
Sam, let's bring you in. Do you have a thought, comment or a question for Professor Brookbank?
I just note, I mean, it's not my area, but I just do note that there's a Curia poll that says only 20% of the population disagree or disapprove of the law, which probably is a couple of things. One, not everyone understands it fully or deeply like the others on this on the panel do. But, I mean, I'd be worried if it was repealed because I'm not sure what the unintended consequences are. And it was interesting reading about the guy who grabbed the woman on the bum to that his second strike was when he got drunk and stabbed someone in the leg. Now, Ruth, you will know this intimately more than me, but that would be my concerns, and perhaps, Warren, you could elaborate further on actually where this has worked well and those unintended consequences of undoing it versus the government actually focusing on significant investment in rehab, which is where the energy needs to go.
Warren?
Yeah. Well, look, I agree with that. And, I mean, the reality is that at the moment there is really no clear indication of whether the Three Strikes Law is deterring individuals from committing qualifying offences. We just simply don't know because there hasn't been enough data crunched.
Isn't that the point? It acts as you go, oh my goodness, I will never commit again because it's the end.
Well, one of the things about the Three Strikes Law was advocated as dealing with the worst of the worst offenders. In reality, it's dealing with the most ordinary of the most ordinary because the vast majority of first strikers are young offenders, Maori or Pacifica. So it tends to be very discriminatory against particular minorities and is dealing with the people who are the people committing most of the serious offences anyhow. So there's no sense in which it's really dealing with the worst of the worst. And certainly if that was meant to be homicide offenders, I think 1.2% of strike offences were for people who committed homicide. So
a quick response to that, Ruth Bonney.
Well, with respect, those sentences are longer, right? So if they commit homicide, they'll get their first strike warning. You know, they'll still be in prison because it's only 10 years ago. So let's see if they then get out and do it again. I think the other thing that listeners should be aware of is that when Three Strikes was introduced in 2010, part of that introduction into the Sentencing Act was life without parole, which if we did not have that awful man that did that horrible Christchurch, the 15th mosque attack, would not have been able to be sentenced to life without parole. Hmm. So let's not just chuck the baby out with the bathwater. Let's do some mahi around this and think about, there are other priorities, rehab and reintegration. You know, we've only got 108 second strikers. We've got 9 third strikers. So you're talking about 117 people versus 9,400.
Right. So, final comment from Professor Brookbanks before we go.
Well, I mean, you know, you can argue the three strikes both ways, I guess. My beef is that really, I think our criminal law is very, very robust, and we frankly didn't need it. And in a real sense, in introducing three strikes, the government was introducing a wheel that was already broken, and certainly experience in America states has shown that three strikes has caused very major distortions within the criminal justice system.
Right.
And increased the rate of imprisonment.
We could have a half an hour discussion on this, I'm sure. It's nice to have you on the program, Professor Brookbanks. I do appreciate it. That's Warren Brookbanks here, criminal law and justice professor at AUT.